second one. Maitreya vacha janeshu pragrinatsvevam pritum pritula vikramam tetropajagmur munayas tatvara surya varchasa. Translation. The great sage Maitreya said, while the citizens were thus praying to the most powerful King Prithu, the four Kumaras, who were as bright as the sun, arrived on the spot. Text number two. Tongues.
Tongues.
Two. Two. Sadeshparan.
Sadeshparan.
Raja.
Raja.
Tongues to Sadeshparan Raja.
Tongues to
Sadeshparan
Raja.
Yom no. Vatarato. Archisa. Yom no. Vatarato. Archisa. Vyam no vataratoritista.
Vyam no vataratoritista.
Lokan.
Lokan.
Apapan.
Apapan.
Kurvanan.
Kurvanan.
Lokan apapan kurvanan.
Lokan apapan kurvanan.
Lokan apapan kurvanan.
Lokan apapan
Sanugo, Tashta, Lakshitan, Sanugo, Tashta, Lakshitan,
Sanugo,
Tashta,
Lakshitan,
Tangsu, Sadeshwaran, Raja, Yomno vataratortisa.
Yomno vataratortisa.
Lokan apapan kurvanan.
Lokan apapan kurvanan.
Sanugo chashta lakshitan.
Sanugo chashta lakshitan.
Tongues to Sadeshwaran
Raja. Tongues to Sadeshwaran
Raja. Yomno vataratortisa.
Yomno vataratortisa.
Lokan apapan kurvanan.
Lokan apapan kurvanan.
Sanugo chashta lakshitan.
Sanugo chashta lakshitan.
Tangs tu sadeshwaran
raja.
Two.
Two.
But.
But.
Siddha Ishvaran,
Siddha Ishvaran,
masters of all mystic power,
masters of all mystic power,
Raja,
Raja,
the king,
the king,
Vyomna,
Vyomna,
from the sky,
from the sky,
Avatarata,
Avatarata,
while descending, Archisha,
Archisha,
by their glaring effulgence, Lokan,
Lokan,
all the planets, Apapan,
sinless,
Kurvanan,
doing so,
Saanuga,
Saanuga,
with his associates,
Achashta,
recognized,
Lakshitan,
by seeing them. Translation. Seeing the glowing effulgence of the four Kumaras, the masters of all mystic power, the king and his associates could recognize them as they descended from the sky. Responsibly, please. Seeing the glowing effulgence
of the four Kumaras,
the masters of all mystic power,
the king and his associates
could recognize them
as they descended from the sky.
Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The four Kumaras are described here as Siddheshvaran, which means, quote, masters of all mystic power, unquote. One who has attained perfection in yoga practice immediately becomes master of the eight mystic perfections. To become smaller than the smallest, to become lighter than the lightest, to become bigger than the biggest, to achieve anything one desires, to control everything, etc. These four Kumaras, as Siddheshvaras, had achieved all the yoga perfectional achievements, and as such, they could travel in outer space without machines. While they were coming to Maharaj Prithu from other planets, they did not come by airplane, but personally. In other words, these four Kumaras were also spacemen who could travel in space without machines. The residents of the planet known as Siddhalok can travel in outer space from one planet to another without vehicles. However, the special power of the Kumaras mentioned herewith is that whatever place they went to would immediately become sinless. During the reign of Maharaj Prithu, everything on the surface of this globe was sinless, and therefore the Kumaras decided to see the king. Ordinarily, they do not go to any planet which is sinful. Om Aginatramandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshun Militanyena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadandikam Vandeham Siguro Sita Padakamalam Sigurun Vaishnavangstha Si Rupam Sagajatam Sagana Raghunatang Vitang Dangjadivam Sadvaitam Subadutam Padijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Si Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Si Vishakan Vitangstha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukham Karoti Vatsalam Pangum Langayate Giram Yatripatamaham Vande Sri Gurundinataranam Maitreya Vacha Dineshu Pragrinats Vaivam Pritum Pritula Vikramam Tatro Pajagmur Munayash Tatvada Surya Vartasa. The great sage Maitreya said, While the citizens were thus praying to the most powerful King Prithu, the four Kumaras, who were as bright as the sun, arrived on the spot. Tangs tu Siddhesvaran Rajan, Vyom no Vatarato Ritisa, Lokan Apapan Kurvanan, Sangugo Chasta Lakshitan. Seeing the glowing effulgence of the four Kumaras, the masters of all mystic power, the king and his associates could recognize them as they descended from the sky. So these four Kumaras are not ordinary living entities, obviously. First of all, we can tell simply by their effulgence. Now, the living entities, they are parts and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mamai Vangso Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. The living entities are also Sanatana, they're eternal, full of bliss, full of knowledge. Also, the Supreme Lord, he has a glaring effulgence. It's called the Brahma Jyoti. So we have, in our pure state, also some effulgence. This is exhibited by the Kumaras. Because of their purity, they are exhibiting some of their natural effulgence. And it's very, very obvious to King Prithu and the four Kumaras. Now, it's also mentioned here that the four Kumaras, they're the masters of all mystic power. But it's not that the Kumaras are on some ego trip because they have mystic powers. Otherwise, they wouldn't have mystic powers. This is they have mystic powers because they are free from ego. And how did they prove themselves to be free from ego? Right after birth, they are born from the mind of Lord Brahma. They desired not to grow old. What does every child want to do? He wants to become a young man, and he wants big muscles, and he wants, you know, and he wants to associate with the opposite sex, and he wants to make money, he wants to overlord. Actually, in one purport in the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada says that the two main contaminations in the material world are sense gratification, the desire for sense gratification, and overlordship. So, being young children, they're going to get neither. They'll get some sense gratification, but not to the degree that they could if they grew up. So obviously, they're not ordinary living entities. We can tell from the very beginning of their lives. They're very serious about self-realization. It is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Bhakta Nishkam Atta Eva Santa Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Sakali Asanta. That Krishna Bhakta Nishkam, a devotee of Krishna, he is desireless for his own self, for his own ego, so to speak. Because of that, he is peaceful. I remember I was hearing a class by Radhanath Swami. He was, before becoming a devotee, he was in India, and he was living in the jungle, and he was observing the monkeys. And the young monkeys, they were very playful and having a good time with one another and running around and swinging from the trees and doing so many playful activities. But as soon as they matured a little bit, he witnessed that they became attacked by sex desire. And no longer were they peaceful. Now, they're in competition with each other. There's only a certain amount of sense gratification available, and each monkey wanted it for himself. Not does only a male monkey want one female monkey, he wants many. And the biggest, strongest, meanest monkey wins. So this is the law of the jungle. And we are living in a jungle in the material world. And if we desire to compete with the other jungle animals for sense gratification, the reward will be you will not be peaceful. You will struggle for existence. Stanikarsati, that means struggle. So, bhukti mukti siddhi kame sakale ashanta. So, the people that desire bhukti, that means material enjoyment, or you want, you're frustrated in the material world, so then you just want out, it's also selfish. Or you want these siddhis, you want these mystic perfections, that's also considered childish. Then you are all of them, sakali, not part of them. All of these people, they are asanta, not peaceful. So this is a great lesson we can learn from the four Kumaras. It's not that they are aspired for mystic cities. They're a byproduct of yoga. That for one who's climbing the yoga ladder, these mystic perfections, they become bestowed upon one. But if one becomes distracted by them, then his progress is checked. And then, yes, he can go around and show all the other conditioned souls in this world what a great person he is because he can do so many magical things. But what benefit is there in this? So the four Kumaras, they're not like that. And they're free from ego. And so therefore, they're quite peaceful. Just like a millionaire, he wants another $1 million. He's not satisfied, even though he has enough money to, he has enough security, so that, okay, I'm going to be able to live, I'll have a shelter over my head, I'll have food for me and my family for the rest of our lives. But there's no satisfaction in attaining material opulences. And mystic cities, they are counted as material opulences. So, because Maharaj Prithu was also following the path of the self-realized souls, he attracted the Kumaras to come and associate with him. It's said that ordinarily the Kumaras, they have no interest in going to places that are sinful. So because Maharaj Prithu ruled this planet, and according to Varnashram principles, it was sinless. And so therefore, the four Kumaras, they came to visit. It was described earlier in this, in the previous chapter, when the Lord came before Maharaj Prithu, that if he followed Varnashram principles, listening to the Brahmins, etc., etc., and then all the citizens would be happy, would love him, and he, Lord Vishnu told them that, and very soon he will be able to see already liberated persons like the four Kumaras. So here, this has come to pass, so we can understand that Maharaj Prithu had been acting properly according to the principles of Varnashram. He achieved the association of the four Kumaras, and this planet achieved association of the four Kumaras. So similarly, Do we want association of saintly people? Then we have to become like Maharaj Prithu. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta once said, don't try to see Krishna, but act in such a way that Krishna will want to see you. So we should, you know, act in such a way that Krishna will be attracted to us. So similarly, we shouldn't try to force ourselves on advanced devotees, but should act in such a way that advanced souls will want to associate with us. They will hanker for our association. There's a sloka in the Bhagavad Gita. Kayena manasa budhya kevalair indiyarapi yogina karma kurvanti sangam chakvat masudaye. That kayena with the body, manasa with the mind, budhya with the intelligence, indriyar with the senses, with the purified senses, kevalair, api, even with the senses, not just with the body, mind, and intelligence. Devotional service includes the senses too. Yogina karma kurvanti. One should perform actions in Krishna consciousness, yogina. Karma means actions, and kurvanti means performs. Sangam chaktvatva sudaye. So they say you should perform these actions in Krishna consciousness. Shakvatma, give up the attachment. You do things only for purification. So this is the meaning of this sloka, is that you give up your attachments that are caused by the ego for doing things. Just like I remember in Hawaii back in middle to late 70s to early 80s, we used to have some pretty rip-roaring kirtans. I mean, we were fired up. I mean, we were young, enthusiastic, but we were also full of ego. We would be dancing for the deity, but we were also dancing because we were strong. We wanted to be strong and healthy, and also there was interest in attracting the living entities in the back of the temple room too. This is a natural for here we do are coming to Krishna consciousness from the backgrounds that we came, and joining Krishna consciousness in the prime of youth. And what does the prime of youth mean? Full of material desires. Up to here with material desires. And then coming to Krishna consciousness, and Krishna consciousness being a gradual process, those material desires are not going to go away immediately. And like we hope they would. So therefore, there's some motivation for doing so many things, and while even engaged in Krishna consciousness, if one does not have a pure heart. So, but gradually, one sticks around, and one follows the process, the scientific process, the book Science of Self-Realization. Srila Prabhupada would always say, this is a science. You practically apply Raja Vidhi Raja Guvyam Pavitram Idamutamam Pratyakshavagamam Dharmyam Susukam Kartavangyam. That you practically apply what you hear in the Vedas, and then you will get some realization. It will go from jnana to vijnana. And you practically apply what you hear, and gradually you will understand. And you'll come to some realizations, first of all, that I'm not this body. First of all, it's theoretical. I remember when I first came to Krishna consciousness, And I was in ecstasy because I heard I'm not my body, because I didn't have a body that was really, and I still don't, that was worthy of showing off to the rest of the world, so to speak. I was very disappointed before becoming a devotee of I wanted to be big and strong and a sports star and you know, attract the opposite sex and, you know, the whole works. I was very much desirous of these things, especially born in America. This type of mentality is like inbred in you there. This is like, you know, you everyone aspires for these things. But the material nature did not award me a material body that was up to my expectations. So then when I came to Krishna consciousness, it was, wow, what a relief. I'm not this body. So that's now, I consider it to be a great blessing that, you know, I have a very light body. It's not so much of a burden to drag around. You know, I don't have, you know, such a problem with, you know, the opposite sex hankering after me because I'm such an attractive personality. I can be free from that, and I can peacefully execute Krishna consciousness. So there is a sloka in the Chaitanya Charitamrita: Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sadhu Kabunai Savanari Sudhitite Karaya Yudai. That Krishna consciousness isn't something that we have to search for outside of our own hearts. It is there already. It is fully present within the heart, but it is covered. And all it has to do is be woken up by the process of hearing and chanting the holy names. The purification, Cheto Darpana Marjanam, Baba Maha Dabagni Nabapanam. The Dabagni, the fire of material existence, will be destroyed, and the blazing fire of Krishna consciousness that we have, all of us have within our hearts, will become again manifest. So this is the, and then we can, you know, exhibit some effulgence, and some, like the four Kumaras. But we won't be thinking, oh, look at me, I have an effulgence. Then you won't have an effulgence. Those that have an effulgence are free from ego. They have no desire to impress upon other people anything. Those that are gross, they like to impress upon others their strength. This is the lower class of men. Like how strong they are, how talented they are with their bodies, you know, just like we used to do in the kirtans, to some degree. To some degree, it was mixed devotional service. You can't just say it was all Maya. There was some Maya, some Krishna. And gradually we kept chanting, we kept dancing, and we got more and more free from sex desire. So the gross exhibition of pride is with the physical body. And then it gets more difficult. Then if you become learned, and then you can show off everybody how a learned person you are. So instead of trying to impress the opposite sex with your musical or dancing abilities, you can get up on the Vyasasan and you can impress the crowd with how many slokas you can chant, how learned you are, how funny you are, how you can captivate everybody, and you can with this type of you can have that, but you will not be satisfied. You have to become free from gross and subtle material desires to be peaceful. Abhitam jnanam etena jnanino nityavenina kama rupena kunteya dusparin analena cha. See how great I am? I know a sloka, right? Thus a man's pure consciousness is covered by his enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied, and which burns like fire. Lusty people that are trying to show off to the world their strength, their physical abilities, and their mental abilities, it's never satisfying. There's always someone better than you. I mean, Puskar, he knows so many more slokas than me, maybe 50 times. So there's always someone better than you in this material world. And even if you're the best, you're not of the conditioned souls, you're not better than the liberated souls, and you're definitely not better than Krishna. All he has to do is he sleeps, and the Vedas are emanating from the pores of his body. He doesn't even have to consciously show off his learning to the rest of the world. He does it when he's sleeping. So we should, the process of becoming peaceful is to become desireless of becoming something in this material world and becoming a humble servant of the Vaishnavas. And then the spiritual world will become revealed, or will become woken up within the heart. So any questions or comments? Anyone want to show off their learning? Shreshwar.
Any hints, tips?
Yeah. Prayer. Just like, okay, he's asking, now, how do we get rid of our subtle desires? All right, you're kind of getting over the gross ones, okay, but then you get hit with desire, fame, adoration, and distinction. Why am I not a GBC? I've been around longer than that guy. He's a GBC. Or, you know, I know a lot of slokas. I can preach nicely. Why am I not a guru? This guy was, you know, I knew him when he was a bhakta. You know, I was a temple president. And I brought him to, now he's a guru. What is this? Why, you know, can't I become a guru? Or you're in the temple room and you're a senior devotee. You've been around many, many years. And the ghee lamp gets passed around to someone else first before you. And you're feeling like, whoa, what's going on here? These are instances when you need to pray. First, you have to recognize you have a problem. Just like in if you have an alcohol problem, you first of all have to realize that you have a problem. And then there's hope for you. So that's step one. Realize that you have a problem, that I have a very serious ego problem. I want to be God. And how to rectify that situation? Yato yato nishtalati manas tansa mastaram tatastato niyam yaitat atmaniyeva pasangnayat. From whatever and wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and its steady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. So we understand theoretically so many things, and we should be able to understand when we're being influenced by ego, by false ego. And if we are, we should hold back, we should look at ourselves and restrict ourselves from further acting on this platform. Sometimes it's mental, sometimes it's gross. And pray for purification of the heart. And very seriously chant the holy name, very seriously study the Vedic literatures, especially given by our acharyas, and be very conscious of acting for the purpose of purification with the kayena manasa buddhya, with the body, mind, words, and intelligence. And in this way, gradually, you'll get over someone else getting the ghee lamp before you that has been around less years than you. I remember a few years ago, I was in Mayapur, and, I joined in 1975, big deal. And I was, going to water Tulsi, and, some upstart comes and butts in front of me and puts his hand out and waters Tulsi first, It's like, this is a typical ego thinking, and I got disturbed. This is an instance of, and then you need some help. That it's proper for people to follow Vaishnava etiquette. It's good for everyone to do that. But if someone violates Vaishnava etiquette with you, it's good for you, but it's bad for them. It will humble you. And you can, if someone violates Vaishnava etiquette to you and you're not disturbed, you're making progress. But if someone violates Vaishnava etiquette to you and you complain about it and you get angry, then you have a problem. So there's this, we should be very strict with ourselves but lenient with others. So that's a very good way to act. Someone doesn't, let them go. Relax. It's not a big deal. Any questions or comments? Yes, Mataji.
Despite all of Bell's disqualifications, I'm sure Prabhupada's asking us to represent Krishna consciousness to the world. And so we can try to bring people closer to Prabhupada. We can try to bring people closer to Srila Prabhupada and give the example of Srila Prabhupada. But people naturally become, they look to us, for guidance, and they become attached to us like that. But we don't really have the compassion or the expertise to deal with them. Can you give some advice for being in that situation?
This is called being a... you have to become a transparent via medium. This is the test of all devotees have. Because by following like the four good principles and chanting the holy name, one gets some potency there. This isn't some process that doesn't work. If you chant the holy name and follow the four good principles on a regular basis for many, many, many years, you're going to become, there's going to be some potency in your prasanna. And you will have some ability to go out and communicate this message to others. And then those people will become very attached to you because you have your yasyasti bhakti or bhagavati akinchana sarvarganas tatra samasate sada. You develop some qualities, some good qualities. And people are always attracted to people that have good qualities. You're kind, you're compassionate. You're knowledgeable. You're giving them guidance in spiritual life. Their material miseries are becoming mitigated. You get some respect and you get some honor. It's natural. You pass it up the disciplic succession. You always have to remind yourself that whatever I have is by the mercy of my spiritual master. It's not coming from me. It's coming from my, it's coming down the disciplic succession. It's coming from Krishna. So, Srila Bhakti, there's no, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur once said, there's no problems in the world except the problem of not being Krishna conscious. So if one's Krishna conscious, which means conscious of where he got the mercy from, is coming from Krishna through the disciplic succession, evam parampara praptam imam rajarsa yogitu. Not only us have got the mercy, but great kings also received the mercy. You know, very, very powerful personalities, they got the knowledge coming down from the disciplic succession. No matter how powerful you are in the material world, no matter how big a position you have, you're depending on the mercy of the Supreme Lord through the disciplic succession for your success. And whatever learning you have, whatever communication skills you have, whatever good qualities you have that other people are attracted to you, is by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And one should always remind oneself of that and remind others of that also. Any other questions, comments? Yes, Prabhu. Wait a minute. We also have an international audience. They want to hear what you ask.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So I was very much appreciating the parallel that you drew with the Alcoholics Anonymous. I have a brother who's been active in that organization for a few years now, and one thing I didn't ever fully appreciate was that they don't consider themselves cured at any point in time. They're always alcoholics. So I was just wondering if we can kind of extend the parallel a little bit and how, if that's relevant as devotees also, if you could speak on that, I don't know.
Sure. The alcoholics, they never consider themselves cured. And it's true. It is true for an alcoholic. They, generally speaking, you know, the conditioned souls in this material world, they're attracted to, you know, breaking the four ego principles. And one of those four ego principles, of course, is intoxication. Now, some so-called civilized animals, civilized human beings, that are actually higher animals in human bodies, they can drink socially. They can take alcoholic beverages, you know, just periodically when they have their parties or whatever, you know what they do. And they don't do it to excess. They do it kind of like socially. It's kind of like a social thing. But alcoholics, they cannot do it. They take one alcohol beverage, then they just go nuts. And they just have to take more and more and more. I don't understand. I'm not an alcoholic, but that's what I hear. When you have an analogy, it's when in relation to Krishna consciousness, it's not always perfect. So this analogy I drew parallel, it's not perfect because, yes, one can become a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One can get free from lust, anger, greed, the desire for fame, adoration, distinction. Yes, it is true that one can become a pure devotee. And unlike alcoholics, of course, alcoholics can also become free when they become pure devotees also. So, any other questions or comments? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki. Wow.